Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome once again to the TR Table. I'm Brother Dunlap, one of your hosts. Also with me at the table is Sister Adia Sanders. Adia, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing good and I'm glad to be back this Thursday.
We are glad you are back with us. And we just want to say it has been a very busy week for all of us. So we're going to give you the best that we possibly have. With God's help, we're going to do it. We have a very interesting topic for everyone tonight, and tonight's topic is how to engage the wisdom of saving. How to engage the wisdom of saving. And we think this is a very, very important topic because we've been talking a lot about planning over the last couple of months prior to getting into this new 2014 calendar year. And what just God has placed in my heart for us to start in a new series. And I think savings is a very interesting topic. I think it's a topic that some people have a little bit of challenges and difficulties. And as you'll see as we go through the show today, we'll see where the lack of savings actually causes some of the problems that we've been dealing with over the last year or some change. So with that, we want to really just tell people exactly where we're going to be at tonight. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and crack them open. And since we're talking about the wisdom of saving, it is befitting that we just go straight to the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs, Adia, has so much in it for our daily living. So many people would tell you that's been walking this Christian journey for a while that if you just read a chapter of Proverbs a day, it will increase how you engage the things of this world that we're actually dealing with. So I think that's just where I'm going to be at for a while, Adia, and we're just going to throw some strategies out there, because I really believe, again, that if people don't grab a hold and seek God and his wisdom for how he can make things a little bit lighter, make these yokes that some of us have a little bit lighter, and give us the insight that we need. It's not just about knowledge. We want God's wisdom in everything that we do. So let me just give everybody the first scripture that we'll be in, and it's going to be Proverbs 6. Verses 8 through 11, and the other one is Proverbs 30, verses 24 to 25. And, Adia, before we go ahead and get into them, or before I go ahead and read those, catch us up. You know, let us know, how does that, just talk to us about that title, How to Engage the Wisdom of Savings. What does that mean to you?
Well, one, I think of it, when you engage something, you tackle it head on. When you engage something, you know, you're going after it. You're not letting it just be business as usual. You're into it full throttle. You're giving it everything that you have. You're putting your all into it. You're engaging it. You're taking a bull by the horn instead of being passive with it. Instead of it just being a conversation, there's activity that's taking place. And I think that what that does is that it helps to build momentum. It helps to give you something to look forward to. It gives you, I guess, just a glimpse of what your future is going to look like, because now you can begin to visualize. When you start engaging something, you're starting to plan, you're doing research, you're gathering information. It's like you're hungry. And just like in Matthew's 5, where it says, he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, they're going to be filled. So he that hungers and thirsts, you know, to go after, to engage, you know, to get information about the wisdom of saving, it's just like you're going to be filled. And that fulfillment is basically you being able to look at what you've done, however many years you've set out to accomplish whatever your goal is. If your goal is to save $5,000, you know that you have put these things in place in order to get to that end state. And when I think about engaging in just the whole thing of wisdom, is with wisdom is not a quick action. It's deliberate. And it's actually sitting down and taking the time to put things together. It's not something that just happens overnight. In order to gain wisdom, it takes experience. And so you're looking at everything that you've done before and how it didn't work, and now you're beginning to put new methods, new ideas, new plans in place so that you can actually achieve your goal. And that's kind of that's what that means to me. Yeah.
I really like what you said, Adia, about the word engage, because, you know, I really hadn't thought about it. You know, sometimes God doesn't give me the whole roadmap. He gives me what he gives me, and then the rest comes out as we engage in the show. But that word engagement, I want everybody to really take Adia's wisdom or the wisdom that God has placed in her about that. Because if we're not willing to engage, what are the things that I need to do to be able to put myself or position myself in a better light? If we're not willing to engage, then I think that, you know, it's like everything is a wrap. You know, you're not going to go forward. So I'm appreciative of all those, all the commentary that you brought to us. You know, tackle it head on. It's not business as usual. It's like going full throttle. Is not passive. It helps to build momentum. So the first thing that I would say is for everybody who's out there listening, as you sit down at the table with us tonight on this topic, think about if you're engaging the wisdom of savings or if you're not engaging the wisdom of saving, and what is holding you back from not engaging wisdom. Let me tell you something. We just got back from Nashville, been up in Nashville all week. For some training. And on my way coming back, there's a radio show that deals with debt. Very well known, so I'm not going to give this person any free press unless they pay us. And one of the things that that they were talking about, they were giving people advice, and people were calling in for advice. And we listened to this for about a whole hour. And at the end of the show, I still was thinking about this. I said, you know what? People called in and they talked about how they got out of debt or that they got out of debt. One person called and talked about how they paid off $145,000 mortgage in 3 years, Adia. And I was listening to that saying, how? Tell us how. Tell us how. Tell us how. I'm rooting. I'm like, come on, tell us how you did it. Because oftentimes there's things that God is allowing people to do, but what I fail to hear, which for me, I'm glad that we have this forum, Adia, so we can talk about the how. So many people do not get the how did this actually happen, right? So when people don't get the how can they even say, okay, God, help me to do that which I already seen you do before and help me to be able to do that same thing? So, again, at the end of the show, I still didn't hear any how they actually did it. I didn't hear how much money they had to put away every single month. I didn't hear about what they had to stop doing in order to pay this. I didn't hear none of those type of things. And I think for me, Adia, you can jump in and comment on this if you want. I think wisdom shows us how. Let's go to the Book of Kings, if I'm not mistaken, when Solomon was faced with this decision of with the the woman came and said, the other woman stole her child, stole her baby. And what Solomon had to make a decision of how he was going to handle that situation. I know this is not totally related to PRF, but I think the wisdom piece is. And God gave him the wisdom to handle that situation. One of the quote-unquote mothers said, cut the baby in half. Or allow the baby to be cut in half. That's what he proposed, and the woman said, that's fine. But the woman whose child it really was said, no, I'd rather you not cut the baby in half. You don't get into a place, none of us get into a place where we're able to make decisions like that without God's wisdom. So it's vitally important that we don't look past the Book of Proverbs. We don't look past engaging God and asking him, how do I save? And I think what I'm going to do, Adia, is really probably have a couple of shows about how to engage on the various topics that we want to deal with in PRF. How do we engage getting out of debt? Because it's easy to say, to hear somebody say, I got out of debt, but you don't know how. And sometimes people don't know where to start from. So let me just start off tonight by really just dealing with these scriptures and then a couple of thoughts or a couple of strategies that God gave to me, and we can go from there. So dealing with Proverbs chapter 6, it says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. Take a lesson from the ants. Talk to us, Adia. What is that speaking to you? To me, that's a really, really self-explanatory scripture, but I think we need to try to break it down a little bit and pull out some points of that so that people can see this scripture and feel the scripture and be able to engage it and say, okay, God, help me to be something more than what I am right now. So go ahead, Adia. Okay, I think we may have lost Adia. She'll come back in a minute. Well, here's what I wanted people to really get from this is this. In this book, in this particular passage, it's talking about the ants. And when you think about the ants, ants are very, very small. And so the context of this scripture is it's really dealing with the laziness if you go on and read verses 9, 10, and 11. But the thing that it says is learn from their ways and become wise. Learn from their ways. So we see this example of the ant, and we see what they do. We see how they don't have anybody over them. Nobody has to tell the ant. It says that though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work. So nobody is forcing the ant to go out there and do what it says in verse 8, labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. Nobody actually is making them do it. This is something that they know that they need to be able to do for survival. Because can you imagine this? Can you imagine if the ants did not go out there and work hard all summer? What would their winter be like? They probably would be hungry. They probably would not be able to go out. I've never seen ants going out in the wintertime going for food like they do in the summertime when you leave something out. So I think it's vitally important for all of us just to think about for God to allow us to have this part of scripture that talks about something as small as an ant that is not as sophisticated as, quote-unquote, as we humans, I think it's worth us taking it. And let me just go on, and Adia, if you're in, just jump in. But then going to verses 9, 10, and 11, it says, but you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty, verse 11, will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. So I really don't want to deal with verses 9 and 10 and 11 because I don't want to give the impression that we're saying that anybody who is in poverty because they're lazy, because they haven't woken up, because they're sleeping, because we do realize and respect that there are various amount of reasons why some people are in poverty, why some people are in debt. But we do want to focus on it and just encourage folks to say, look, if you are out there and you are listening and you want to become wise, take a lesson from the ant. And then the other part that I would say is this. We need to be willing to take lessons from people that have done what we're trying to do. Case in point, our daughter had to get something put on her car. It cost a couple hundred dollars. My wife and I, as we were driving back, she called and told us that she had picked up the car. The beauty of that whole situation was she didn't have to come to us, 28 years old. She didn't have to come to us and say, hey, Mom, I need some money because I don't have anything saved up. And here's the thing. She knows what I do for a living. She knows about the ministry. But nobody had to force her to put money aside. She did it because she knew that that was the right thing. Maybe she's heard me talk about it in the household. Maybe she's, but somehow she has something inside of her that said, I need to put something away. And I look at it like this. What if she did not have that $500 or $600 for that repair of the car? Where would she have got the money from? One, she could have come to us, but it would have been no guarantee that she would have, one, had got it. The second thing is, it wouldn't have been a guarantee that we even had it if she would have came to us. But the second thing, which I think was is even more critically important, which really would have gone to verses 9 through 11, is what if she had a credit card? So many times, because people do not have savings, they have to rely on credit cards. And credit cards does nothing but put most people in debt when they don't have it. So we rather people have the savings that is up there, savings in the bank or savings under the mattress or wherever you put it, so when certain things come up, you're able to handle them, you're able to have the peace of mind, and God is able to continue doing the things that God is trying to do in your life. So, Adia, are you back with us?
I am, and I just really wanted to look at the ant, because when you think about an ant, it is small, and you said that. But I was also thinking about, as a kid, you know, it was just like, I don't know, some little weird thing to be like, man, you can never kill an ant. Like, no matter how many times you stepped on it, those little suckers are tough. And so the thing that I was looking at was that the ant is small. Used to try to kill them when I was a kid, couldn't kill them. I mean, unless you just, like, you know, grinded them into the ground. So they were kind of insignificant. But the Bible talks about the ant. And when you think about social statuses, if we wanted to use that, because we Americans love to do stuff like that, if we wanted to look at the ant as a social status, they would be, I would say, maybe our elite people, because they knew how to, one, get wealth and how to keep it. And so a lot of times, but when you look at the ant, we think, oh, that ant, they're insignificant. They don't play a big part. They got all of these ant hills in my yard, and some ants bite, but they are aggressive about what it is, about their goal. They have a goal in mind, and they can see it, and they will by all means necessary work to reach their goal. And a lot of times people are not being aggressive in order to reach their goal. They don't even have a goal in mind. So in order to even get to the part about engaging, I think it's important that you have a goal, and that if you look at yourself and want to compare yourself to the ant, begin to look at, even though the ant may be seen as insignificant in the natural because they're little and they're pesky and all those other kind of things, the ant has a goal. And their goal is that, guess what, before wintertime gets here, I got to have enough food stored up, and I have to do whatever it takes. And so they are going, if you drop a cracker on the floor, you're going to find like 50 ants all over those crumbled up crackers, and they're working to get it back to their ant mound. They're working to get it back. They're working together. And we talked about community. They're not trying to do it by themselves. They're not trying to showboat. And so I think that it's important, and I really love how the Bible talks about the ant. But as a kid, or even as you think back as an adult, it's just like, what purpose does the ant really serve? What purpose does it serve? It shows us how to set goals. It shows us how to keep moving forward, even if the odds seem to be stacked against you. Even if somebody steps on you, you beat that ant and you get back up and you keep moving, because there's strength in the small size of an ant. And sometimes we may seem small and insignificant, but the power that we pack, the experience that we have, the skill sets that we have are really powerful, and we can't allow people to intimidate us just because they may be bigger than us. Just because they may appear to have more than us, we have to understand that we can be the small ant, but we are powerful, we have strength, and we have a goal set in mind, and we're going to get that goal accomplished by any means necessary. And that's to me what the ant represents. We don't have time to sleep because we have a mission that we're trying to accomplish. And if we don't accomplish the mission, for some people, it could be life or death. If the ant does not prepare for the winter, the ant can't, they won't survive through the winter months while they're underground. they will not survive because they will not have the means to do so because they did not properly prepare and store up for and put away savings so that they can make it through the winter months until the new season begins to come up again. And that's kind of what that meant to me, and I hope that wasn't long.
No, that's fine. And here's what I really enjoyed what you just said about the winter. How could they survive during those winter months if they did not store up what they needed for those winter months?
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about the winter season. So since you took it here, let me just take it a step further. In several places throughout our country right now, this is March the 6th, but in several places in our country, there have been some crazy winters, right?
Yeah.
There have been, even down here in the Atlanta, Georgia area, you know, we haven't seen what we saw this winter or at this time of the year in a couple of years. So many people had no idea that this winter storm that it was planning, you know, that we heard about before it came, you know, last month. So many people didn't have some things saved up in place. Some people were out there with only a quarter tank of gas, right? Some people believe, okay, I'm going to get home. And, yeah, I'm saying all this not to say what people didn't do, not to say what the state and what the city of Atlanta didn't do. That's not the purpose of why I'm making that comment. But there are some things that we needed to have. You know, when you hear that snow is coming, right, it would be a good thing to have an ice scraper in your car.
Mm-hmm.
But down here in the South, an ice scraper is the last thing we have in our mind. But I believe that there are some people that God gave some wisdom to, like cats like me from up north that know, ice scrapers are a very good thing, right, Adia? I mean,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
that's
yeah.
Not uncommon to us, you know. What about we don't have salt trucks everywhere down here, right?
Yeah.
Especially deeper in some of our more rural areas. So you need to have some stuff saved up, even if you don't use it, but just in case it actually happens. And so in talking about this particular scripture, we're talking about, hey, look at the ants. Look at what they do. They store up, or they gather in the summer so that they can have it stored up for the winter. So let's flip it in and take it one other place, Adia, before we go to Proverbs chapter 30. What do we do? And I think this would be one of the questions that somebody may have. Okay, that's good to say, but what about the folks that are already in that winter time? What about the people who are already in their winter, quote unquote, and have not saved up? Is there any responsibility out there for anybody to be able to help those individuals who did not take the wise advice, may not have ever been told, hey, gather in the summer so you could have it in the winter? For those who that conversation never comes up in church, you know I have to go there. So what do we do for those individuals who are in their, quote-unquote, wintertime and did not save up or gather in the summertime? What do we tell them, Adia?
Well,
I mean, let's just be real with it. Just be real with it.
Well, the first thing, I'm just what I saw when you were, as you were talking, I could just literally see like a tree in the wintertime that has no leaves. Nothing's on that tree, just bare. The tree is still there. And sometimes you just going to have to stand and just hold on to know that if your roots are deep enough, and I mean, I don't really know how to break this down, so I'm just kind of going with it. If your roots are deep enough, you will survive. You can make it through the winter month even though you have no leaves on your tree. And because you have no leaves on your tree does not mean that you are dead. It just means that you are in hibernation. It just means that everything has fallen off because there is no, quote-unquote, I guess, rain and sunshine and heat that will allow there for there to be a harvest or a blossoming or whatever, you know, I don't really know all of the scientific terms that trees do. But because the leaves have fallen off, because you have not saved and you are now in your winter month, doesn't mean that you're dead. And so just like a bear hibernates, the bear's not dead. They're just in a deep sleep. And so you are just in that deep sleep, but you will have the opportunity to where you're going to be revived. And during that time, you should be storing up energy. You should be preparing yourself to say, I know that I'm going through this winter moment right now, but I know that spring is coming. And so at the first sign of spring, that's my opportunity to get the rain. That's to have people pour into your life, to get everything that you can get, to utilize those resources that are out there. So bottom line, what I'm saying is that you're just going to have to hold on. And things may be tight. Like, it doesn't rain that much during the winter months. You may get snow, and that's the only means, you know, to water the ground in preparation for the springtime, which will eventually get us back to summer. But you're just going to have to hold on and understand that sometimes things may be tight. Rain may be far and few, but you can make it and you're going to survive. And so you're just going to have to take what you have for that winter season and work it. You're going to have to put an H on your chest and handle it. Instead of you having maybe $1,000, you may only have $250 to work with. But you're going to have to work with that $250. And while you're in that winter season, that's the opportunity for you to say, I can't afford to do what I just did during this time right now because I'm hurting. I'm struggling. I'm being faced with, you know, whatever the opposition is that you may be faced with. I'm low on food. I'm low on money. I'm low on this. I don't have, you know, the shovel that I'm supposed to have. I'm not prepared as I should be. And so what I see happening is that during that winter time, that's the time for you to begin to prepare, putting your plan together. You may not can gather anything, but you can definitely begin to write your plan down. I know a couple of shows ago you brought up where it talks about the people perish for the lack of knowledge. During your winter season, that's the time for you to be getting all the knowledge that you can. While people are out there preparing for Christmas and spending their money for Thanksgiving, well, you may just be able to get, if you've seen Good Times, you know, they had the hands that's in the can that look like a big box of Spam. You may have to get one of those for Thanksgiving, $15.99, and call it a day. You're not going to be able to afford the $35 hand that you normally got because you were unprepared. You did not put the necessary things in place to get you to where you need to be so that you can survive the winter months. But you're going to have to use what you have in order to sustain you. And I think that word is very key. Whatever you have is going to have to be able to sustain you. But while it's sustaining you, that's the time for you to get knowledge. That's the time for you to hit your local bookstore, to hit up different free events that they have at your library about finances. They have, you know, maybe webinars. That's the time for you to begin to invest where a lot of people are spending and are out, you know, doing things for the holidays. Because you don't have it or have a lot of it, and whatever your it is, it may be finances, it may be your resources or possessions, that's the time for you to begin to gather the knowledge, and you're just going to have to use what you have in order to sustain you through those winter months. And you may look bare, but you're still standing. You just have to wait until the springtime comes, until that rain and that sunshine and that warmth comes, until your leaves can begin to blossom. But during that time, in order for you to see the blossoming, it's going to take you doing something when everybody else is busy. You're going to have to be busy preparing yourself so that you won't get caught off guard again. And I think that's important, Nate.
So I'm going to have to come at it from a different angle. Remember a couple of shows, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think that's what people, what you said, I think that's what so many people hear, especially coming from the church or maybe coming from I know that is something that I've heard in my church or in a former church or a church in my community. Remember a couple of shows ago, we talked about Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you came to to visit me when I was in prison. Mm-hmm. You came to see about me. And so for me, I think that's the response. Because if somebody is in need and there's nobody else that's going to help them with that need, they're not going to go out there and say, oh, let me go ahead and tune into the PRF table to get some knowledge about how to deal with saving. Because you can attest to this from your military background. When you go out to the field, when you're hungry, it's harder for you to focus on the mission when you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You do better when you have something inside of your stomach. You may not have a lot, but you have something. And I think if you and I were out in the field, in supply, the logistics truck didn't come with the chow, with the food, and we'd have been out there for 18, 19 hours, we probably would be in a different state of mind. Not only will we not be focused on the mission, we'll be mad at leadership. How you going to have us out here for 18, 19 hours and y'all not making sure that we're getting anything to eat? So I think there is room and I think there is opportunity for people when they're in that, quote, unquote, that winter season to be able to educate themselves, tune into the PRF table, contact Adia, contact myself. At the same time, I don't want it to be, I don't think that there's a one answer for people, because a lot of people have been hearing that same type of answer for a long period of time, at least in my community. And then they don't reach out.
But that's the thing. I mean, when you're looking at the ant did not fail to prepare. And I'm not dismissing what you're saying. The ant did not fail to prepare. But we as people sometimes fail to prepare for whatever those reasons are. And so what I'm saying is that you still have your resources out there. You still have the community that's there. You need to know that. But if you don't know that, what are you supposed to do? And so when I'm talking about, like when I said I literally can see like a tree with no leaves on it and standing out and with nothing but snow, so a tree in the midst of snow, that tree is still being given, is still being sustained, even though there are no leaves. And so a lot of times you have people, we're going to look at the wisdom of saving and talk about the ant. Well, then we also still have to talk about the other side, because the reality is that the ant prepared. And so when you look at when people are in that winter season and they're barren like a tree, it's because they didn't prepare. So I guess I see that if we're going to be honest about the situation and just kind of keep and put everything out there on the table and lay all of our cards out there, we have to acknowledge and say, I didn't prepare. I was not like the ant. And so sometimes because I wasn't like the ant, it's not to say that you're not going to get any help, but can you understand where you're at? Can you be okay in the fact that you're not going to be without? You're going to be down, but you're not going to be totally annihilated. You're not going to be without food. But what you may have been able to do had you prepared before, you may not be able to do that. So maybe you have $500 that you used to spend for groceries, but because you did not prepare, you only have $250. So I'm not saying that the person has absolutely nothing, but what I'm saying is that their resources are limited. What they normally would have had if they had prepared is limited. And so sometimes we have those seasons that because we did not prepare like the ant, if the ant maybe takes, instead of starting to prepare for wintertime at the beginning of the summer, if they wait until July, well, they just miss a whole 30 days. So now instead of having 90 days of food, they only have 60 days supply. So they're only going to be able to be sustained. So for those 60 days, I have to stretch over a period starting, what, winter starts, I think, in November or something like that. I really don't know when winter starts. But if we wanted to look at it where you're looking at when winter officially starts, I'll just say December, January, and February. Well, now they have to make those 60 days that they prepared for stretch for 90 days. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when you look at the ant, if I only prepared for this because I took 30 days and I don't know, just kind of did my own thing and thought that I was going to have time, or maybe I got too busy and I just didn't prepare, or whatever the case was, or I didn't backwards plan. Like we talk and we actually do in the military, your 60 days now, is your 90 days is now 60 days, and you're going to have to work with that. That's kind of the angle that I was coming from. Not to say, you know, you just have nothing and nobody's going to, you know, you hungry and nobody's going to feed you. Or you have a need for clothes and nobody's going to clothe you. I wasn't looking at it from that sense, but looking at it from the aspect that whatever you, when if you are not prepared, that you may just have to work with what you have. And if what you have is half than what you would normally have, then sometimes that's what you have to do because you fail to prepare. It doesn't mean that you, I don't know, are less of a person, or I don't even know the right words, but sometimes it just means that for that season, that's what you have to go through. And there may be people that are going to bless you, and you welcome it, but you yourself failed to prepare and to make sure that you were able to be sustained through the winter months. And that's kind of the only way that I was looking at it. And I don't know if that clarifies, but I don't know why I think that if they ain't got nothing to eat, that nobody's going to feed them.
Well, I think that's a reality. I think there's a lot of people out there that believe that. And I know we have a lot of people within the church that don't come to church for assistance because they believe that. And here's something interesting that you said. And for those who are just joining in, tonight what we're talking about is how to engage the wisdom of saving. How to engage the wisdom of saving. And the scripture that we just talked about was Proverbs 6:6-8, where it talks about take a lesson from the ant, you lazy person, learn from their ways, become wise. They have no prince, no ruler, no governor that's making them out there, going out there to work. They labor hard all summer, and they gather food for the winter. So that's where Adia and I are having this conversation right now. Here's something interesting about the ant, because you brought it up again. One of the things you said, that the ant, nobody had to tell the ant what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the ant, going out and gathering for the summer, during the summer, for the winter, that's in their DNA, Adia. It's not in our DNA as a male.
So we're saying that God doesn't give us the means to get stuff?
No, what I'm saying is it's not in our DNA. For them, it's a natural thing. For us, saving is unnatural. It's unnatural. It's not something we learn how to do at an early age. It's not something that's taught in our educational systems. If you are fortunate enough to have parents that are on the PRF table that understand the value of saving and teach it to their children, then yes, it may work. But if you don't have parents in your household, or you don't have those adult figures that's telling you, or that told us, hey, Nate, make sure that you save because you're going to need some money later on. I'm giving you this $5. Put some of it up. No, you can't spend all five of those dollars in an arcade at the mall.
Well, then that's a culture thing.
We have to be taught how to save. That's not something that we just do on our own.
But that's cultural, though, culturally driven, because I know I have read and I was looking for it. Like, when I look at Genesis, and I look at how God began to, you know, those first 6 days that he was putting stuff in order. I mean, he gave man, he said, this is what your job is going to be. Here's what your role is. You have Proverbs 31 to where you have a mother talking to her son to say, hey, here's the kind of wife that you need to be looking for. She has this, 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 and this. And so I think maybe some of that stuff has been lost in our culture, but to say that is not a part of our DNA. I don't even know how to maybe rebut that, but I kind of have a hard time accepting that as kind of a fact, or like that's just it, because as a believer, I believe that God has given me everything that I need. Now, whether or not I know how to utilize it or whether or not I know how to tap into it, that may be the problem. But to say that we don't know how to save, I mean, I just don't know if I can accept that as just that, just being like, this is it. because we have, I mean, you have in Genesis to where, you know, God says, hey, Adam, this is what you're going to do. And, hey, Eve, and, you know, this is what you're going to do. And maybe things have been diluted and definitely, like I said, because of our culture. But I just think that, you know, when I go back and because, I mean, I love history. When I've looked at our history just for I minored in African-American history in college. When I looked at the history and just how innovative we were, it was because we saw something and we said, hey, wait a minute, we need hot water. So how is it that we can get hot water? Well, we have to do X, Y, and Z. Well, how do these people know how to do these things if there maybe wasn't a book that gave you step-by-step instructions on how to get hot running water when in those days, I mean, we're talking about thousands of years ago, they didn't even have the electronic or the technology that we have. And to me, I just feel like that's going back to who God has made us. And he said that, I mean, he makes all things, he does all things well. And I just feel like there's maybe definitely a disconnect in our culture, but I don't know if I agree with the fact that it's not in our DNA.
It's not something that we naturally do. Let's be honest. It is not something.
Well,
I'm just talking about.
People hunt. That's gathering. That's saving up. We hunt.
We're talking about.
So I mean,
talking
how
about
do
finances.
People survive?
How do people survive?
How did people survive, like, in times where we don't have, there were no laptops and cell phones and telephones? I mean, how did people get food? They, you know, you got bow and arrows or, you know, just taking your hand and digging it in the stream and gathering up food. I mean, I'm just looking at all of these different examples from history that has shown that it is a part of I don't want to use the word DNA, but it is a part of us as people to be able to gather things. And maybe because of our society that we live in and the messages and definitely the subliminal messages that are being put out there, that it is very diluted, that it does appear as if we don't know how to save. It does appear as if we don't know how to do these things. But if push came to shove, I mean, you know, we had the little saying when, and I know you know it, you know, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. How can you possibly do that? It's when you realize and you begin to put your priorities in place, and a lot of it may be because we're not being taught, but I don't think it's because we don't know how. I think it's in us, and that's something that we need to tap into and begin to maybe serve that gift, because I think all of us have the capacity and the ability to save. We may not know it because of what our culture and our society is bombarding us with.
Okay. We're just going to have to disagree on that one, cousin. And if you are listening to us and on Facebook, you can dial in at 914-338-1692 or press 1 on your dial pad. We love for you to jump in and mediate this conversation that Dia and I are having. I just don't see it, Dia. I just don't see it. I don't think that it is natural for my community. If I go down to the south side of my city, there's going to be a whole bunch of people on the south side of my city that is not going to be able to say, oh, yeah, I know how to save. And I think not knowing how to save also comes into play with you got to have something in order to be able to save. And, again, I'm not talking about saving up food. We're talking about dollars. We're talking about money. We're talking about saving money out of your paycheck. If there was more people, if it was so natural for us, I just believe that there would be a lot more, there would be a lot less people possibly not in as much debt if it was natural for us to save. And again, going back to this scripture, they didn't have to be told to do it. We're talking about this now, trying to encourage folk, this is something that you need to do, but you got to engage God's wisdom in order to be able to do it. That's what our message is tonight. So, again, let's go on to the next one. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 and 25. You know, when I looked at that, I'm going to try to grab it real quick. Another perfect example talking about the ant. There are four things on the earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants, they are strong, and you mentioned this earlier. They aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. So, again, we see another example in this wisdom literature that really talks about something that is so small that does not have the capacity that we have, that cannot do the things that we can do as humans, but it is within them to be able to store up things for later. And so one of the strategies that I was thinking about or that came to me as I was preparing for the show, I think people have to acknowledge that they don't have enough savings saved up. Sometimes when there's a problem or when something is out of whack, all of us have to be willing to just man up or woman up and say, you know what, the reason why this happened is because I didn't have enough savings saved up. There are some people that have savings, may have a couple dollars, may have $1,000 in the bank. So to them, that's a savings. But what about if you need $2,000 worth of work done on your car? That may cause that individual to have to go and borrow money, do a payday loan, do a title pawn, borrow money from friends, borrow money from a loan shark, put it on a credit card, get a small signature loan. And I think if people are willing to do that, acknowledge, hey, I think that would go a long way. If Crystal came to us when she needed this money for her car today and said, hey, you know, this, it cost $500 for the car, I got $400. I would not have a problem as a parent saying, you know what, I got you. We'll loan you the other $100, or we'll give the other $100 to you. Because it shows that she has already done something to put herself in what you were talking about earlier, dear, in a better situation, but sometimes not have enough saved up all at one time. And then I think it's also worth being able to realize that, okay, when these things happen, when we have to take money out of our savings, if we're fortunate enough or have engaged the wisdom of God in being able to have some type of savings, and we have to use it for something, then wisdom should be telling all of us, I'm going to have to put that back. Because if you take out a savings, eventually you're going to get down to zero.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I believe and what I've seen from my experience causes some of the debt crisis situations that we have. So another one I had was people have to decide what type of savings that they want or what type of savings that they need. When I used to tell my students this, look, you can't just get one savings account and put all that money in there and say, oh, I have $2,000 saved up. What about an emergency fund? What about a reserve fund? You know, a whole bunch of people who have been unemployed for a long time had money in their reserve fund, and they were using that money to live off of while they were hoping and praying for a job, Eventually, when that reserve fund ran out, they were able to go to their emergency fund. So there's not just one type of savings that's out there. And if people don't make a distinction between, okay, this is for emergency, this is for reserve, then that could also get them into trouble. So those are just two things that came to me earlier, Dia. You know, one, acknowledge that you don't have enough savings saved up. And the other one is decide what type of savings that you want. What type of savings do you need? Do you need an emergency fund? You know, if I had $2,000 in the bank and I say that's my reserve fund, then that's in case something happens. That's in case this person gets laid off or in case this person has to go on a long-term disability and don't have long-term disability insurance. They're able to continue paying their bills. That's not an emergency. That's the reserve. Now let me start saving after I got this $2,000. I set my goal for $2,000 in my reserve fund. And most people are going to tell you, most financial planners will tell you that it's a very good thing to try to have at least 6 months of savings. Well, how do you get there? Most people can't get there, as you mentioned, overnight. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some planning. So it's better to have a plan to say, I'm going to put my first goal is going to be $1,000 in my reserve fund. My next goal is going to be put $1,000 in my emergency fund, or I'm going to put $500 in my reserve and then put $500 in my emergency. Then I'm going to put another $500 in my reserve, another $500 in my emergency. there has to be some goal setting, and you alluded to that earlier, or you actually mentioned that idea. So what are some other strategies or some other things that you can think of that can help people to try to engage this wisdom of saving?
I've said it a lot of times, but basically just having a budget, knowing, being able to look at what you have coming in and seeing where your money is going. And I think that definitely helps to paint a bigger picture, because a lot of times when without budgeting, you know, we know we're paying our bills, but then third week of the month comes and we're just like, oh, my gosh, I don't have any money, or I don't have enough money. Well, why is that? Well, I went out to eat like 5 or 6 times. So you can go back and look at your bank statement to show, oh, my gosh, I spent $300 just eating out in 3 weeks and had no clue when you could have budgeted to say, I'm going to discipline myself to budget to say I'm only going to spend $150 to eat out for the entire month. Now, that may seem a lot for people, but that's just an example. And so as you're budgeting, I think that it just paints a realistic picture for you to see, here's what you got, here's what you have coming in for the month, however many times that is, whether it's once a month, twice a month, or weekly. And it allows you to see where that money is going broken down, whether it be for like car repairs or, you know, paying your debt, household bills like your light bill, food, gas, oil, different things like that. And you can see, and now you get a better understanding of, okay, this is where my money is going. And that's just something from my personal experience. Because I do budget, it allows me to see where my money is going, and I'm more cognizant to say, okay, because I have this budget and I've allocated this money to these things, or for some of them, which, you know, you just can't change, like your electric bill is going to be this it's a variable amount that I've allocated this amount, but there are some things that, you know, maybe I'm not going to do $200 in groceries this month because I still have enough food left over from the month before, so I can lower that amount, and now I can apply that money on a debt that I have, or I can apply it on something else. So I may need to increase, you know, what my gas is because I got to travel out of town several times this month, and that's probably the biggest one for me.
And another strategy that I know actually works is paying yourself first, even if it's just a small amount. I truly believe, and this is what the wisdom of God says to me, that God wants all of us to save. He doesn't want us working so that we're paying somebody else so that they can save, so that they can take care of their family when an emergency happens, that if something happens to their job, that they're able to continue to pay their bills. I don't believe that's the wisdom of God. I believe the wisdom of God is that he wants all of us to save so when things happen, and not only talking about negative situations, when somebody else is in need, that we have something there. When we go and I guess I'll have to go there, when we go there and we hear so much, as Brother Feaster talked about the beatdown script in Malachi 3, about bring all the tithes to the storehouse. Well, there's a purpose of why it's something that's supposed to be in a storehouse. It's stored there, not just to be there. It's stored there when there's a need that we're able to provide it and distribute it among those who have need. And then when we go over a couple of chapters from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and we deal with Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, and they said those who had houses and land, they sold their property, those proceeds, they brought that money and they gave it to the apostles, laid at the apostles' feet so they can distribute it to everybody who had need. So there's a motive behind saving. Saving is not just so that I can have money for my emergencies, so I can have money for my reserve, but there also needs to be a component in there of savings so that I can help somebody who needs help. I think that if that component is not in there, I ask the question, why is God going to help me just to get $10,000 saved up in my savings account just for me to have $10,000 sitting there? But then I got people that's sitting next to me in church that's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I got people sitting next to me that are wearing the same clothes every single Sunday because all they have is that one suit. You know it's the same suit. So God blesses us. To have a savings account in today's time, in today's economy, is a blessing. It's a blessing.
Hey.
So it's just in my spirit that it's not just about what I have for me and for my family. It's also for me to be able to have it for other folks when they get in there. Because there is another scripture that says, when you give because when you give and you need, you give to others who have need because at some point you're going to need it as well and you're going to need others to give back to you. Okay, how much money you got?
I just want to caveat off of what you're saying. You are definitely, like, on that target, like, on it hard, because one of my favorite couple of verses is in Genesis chapter 12, and this is where the Lord was talking to Abram, and he told him, he said, get out of your country, you know, from thy kindred in your father's house, and unto thee a land I will show thee. And he was like, I will make you a great nation. I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And that part to me in verse 2 is very key. He says, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to give you the resources. I will make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And so God is going to give us these things not just for us. Of course, we get the benefit from it because Psalms tells us the Proverbs tells us that he loads us daily with benefit. But he wants to make us great, just like he told Abraham, so that we can do what? Bless others. And if we don't understand that concept, then when we do get stuff, it will probably leave our hands faster than what we received it because of where our heart is at. Oh, I got mine. And you know somebody, you can maybe help somebody buy a brand new tire because they don't have it. Or maybe they don't have all of the money. And so I've been sharing this with several people to say that, you know, when God blesses us, it's not just for us. It's so that we can be a blessing to other people. That's where the whole word that feast of love so much stewardship comes into play. When I give you something, are you going to be a good manager of it? And a good manager is not just a person that makes sure that they're scheduled. And I know I'm going into, like, restaurants and all that stuff. But it's not just to make sure that you get the best schedule or anything like that. But it's to make sure that the people that work for you also are taken care of as well. And that's what a good manager does. That's what a person that's practicing stewardship does. They're making sure that the people that God has placed in their lives, whether it's by divine appointment or, you know, they can impact that person because it's their next-door neighbor or at the school, that they be a blessing to them because of what God has given them. And I'm a firm believer of that, not just because I believe the word, not because I just hear the word, but because I know I actually do what the word of God says. And God will always give you more because you're blessing other people. And if he doesn't bless you, then how can you be a blessing to other people as well? You know, when things starting to look like they're running dry, I just believe in my heart that God will definitely fill you back up again so that you can be a financial or resource or possession blessing to somebody else.
Mm. And so one of the other things, I know I said pay yourself first, even if a small amount. I do want to encourage folks to believe that they can actually purpose in their mind and in their heart that they can actually build up their savings. From my experience, there are a lot of people that don't believe they can save a deer. And for a lot of people, that's a reality. Certain individuals that are working paycheck to paycheck don't believe that they can save. But I want to encourage and say, okay, let's find a way to save. That's the angle that I'm coming from. Because sometimes you have to help people to be able to see you have sometimes a little bit more money there than you're giving yourself credit for. You know what? I believe that the wisdom of God would say to somebody who is working paycheck to paycheck, somebody who may be working and receiving $2,000 a month in their pay, and they got $1,900 plus going out every single month. I believe that person can actually save. Maybe it takes somebody to be able to show them, if you cut this out or if you cut that out. Yeah, you may not be able to go to the movies twice a month, but you can go once a month, put that money aside. And we have to be able to help people to be able to see that it doesn't matter how much you're saving. What matters is that you save. I believe that God will honor that when you and I or anybody else that's out there listening say, you know what, I know God wants me to save. I know God wants me to start somewhere. And you mentioned at the beginning of the show, you talked about engaging. And one of the things that you said in that, you said it helps to build momentum when people engage. Nobody's going to get $1,000 in their savings account unless they put something in it first.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple other components that I think maybe next week or before the month is out on one of our next couple of shows that we can continue talking about certain strategies. You know, some folk don't know how to handle money. It could be, I'll give you a perfect example, my sister-in-law or my brother-in-law used to give my wife money to hold for him. You know what I say about that? Praise God. If you
mm-hmm.
know that money going to burn through mm-hmm. your hands, praise God that you have somebody that you can trust to give that $20 a week to so that when you need it, and then what was great about it was or is if he wants it for some foolishness, she going to tell him no. That helps with the accountability piece. So there's a whole bunch that we have to do with this savings thing, with this notion of savings, that we have to be willing to help folks. I'm telling you, for the rest of this year, we're about to press into it. We got to be serious about it because we know that there's going to be other stuff coming. The time that we're in right now, people getting their income tax checks, not worrying about saving. I haven't heard anybody, and I'm just talking about in my little sphere, nobody that I know, I've not heard not one person talk about saving anything from their income tax.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know what's in their bank. Maybe they already got a bunch of savings, so I don't know. But if they don't, there's not wisdom in that. There's not wisdom in just taking that income tax return and going out and spending it or paying off all these bills or some bills and not putting anything away for a rainy day. Because the reality is another income tax refund is not going to come until next year, and that's not even guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But what is coming is this: high school graduations, yearbook, senior dues, class ring, summer vacation, close at the beginning of next school year, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas. There's some things that we know are going to come. So if we know that certain things are going to come, it only behooves us to be able to put ourselves in the right position and to encourage others to put themselves in the right position so that in the time of winter, they've done what everybody needs to do during their time of summer. So I think I'm done for tonight, Adia. You got some final comments for tonight, and we'll go ahead and shut this down.
I was just going to say I think that we have a responsibility to challenge people, to ask those questions, you know, what are you doing with your tax refund when you get it? What are you doing, you know, are you saving money when you get paid? If it's nothing but $20 a month, can you a small beginning is better than no beginning. And I just want to share, you know, personally for me, for a long time, I always knew about saving because, you know, my mom, she taught us to save. I mean, I had a savings account when I was a baby. She opened that up for us, and, you know, and when I got older, she would show me how to balance and use my ledger, different things like that. Now, I made choices on my own when I got older. And then
right.
I began, one of the first that I, what I heard you didn't say it, but was fear. I was bound by fear because I was living paycheck to paycheck. I wasn't doing a budget. I was just frivolously spending, even though I was
just maintaining or sustaining. I was still living paycheck to paycheck. And it was an awful feeling, and I kept saying, God, this is not the way you made me to be. I just couldn't fathom in my head that this was how I was supposed to live and it was supposed to be okay. And it wasn't until one day, like, the light bulb came on. It was just like, if you don't start saving, you will not have a future. And I was just like, but I can't save. And it was like God said, yes, you can. And you need to understand that if you don't save, this is what's going to happen. And so in my head, for some whatever reason, the mindset was, if I saved, I would be taking from my family. I would be taking food out of my children's mouth. I had this warped thinking. I don't know where it came from because I wasn't raised that way. God knows I wasn't. I've always had a savings account from a kid, like I said, and my mom taught me how to save. But from some warped thinking, and maybe it was because of my experiences and bad choices that I made, I felt like if I saved, that I would be taking out of my family's mouth, when the reality was if I didn't save, I was going to be taken out of their mouth in the future, and they were going to be the ones to suffer right along with me. And so once I understood the concept and the light bulb came on, I realized that my life choices had to be different. And whereas I was paying off debts and, you know, wasn't overextended as far as like when I had a credit card, it was just like it had to be something. I just knew that there was something different. And so I think one of the things for me was the fear. And so I began to, I was that person. When I say, when I'm talking about stuff on the PRF table, I'm talking about me. These are things that I had to do. I've had to become aggressive about what it was that I want, the goals that I wanted to accomplish. I had to start writing down my visions and how I was going to get there and things that I wanted to do. And it takes more discipline. I think to me it seemed like it takes 99% discipline than it does to actually do it. Like we can say we're going to say, but the discipline behind it, I think it's important and not allowing the fear of doing something that you've never done before to overtake you and to overwhelm you and to basically just choke you until there's nothing left, until you're just in a state of depression and disillusion that you can't do it because you actually can. But it's going to take you, one, being honest. It's going to take, you know, like you said, accountability. I remember talking to my son's godmother and telling her, this is where I'm at. And I think I was 19 or 20 years old, and she gave me a $20 bill because my account was -$19. She said, I'm going to show you again how to do this, balance your checkbook. And she said, here's $20, and you take it to the bank. And I took that $20 to the bank to get myself out the hole, and I began to keep a ledger of what I was spending. Here was my beginning balance or ending balance, and here's when I got paid, and I began to keep a tally. And that practice helped to get me disciplined. And it took time and it took years. I'm not going to lie to you and just tell you I got it in a year. I'm 33 right now, and I'm still learning. But the thing, the difference now is that I'm no longer being bound by the fear of saying what I can't do or how I can't get it done. When I look at my goals like the ant, I understand how important it is for me to store up and to prepare myself, because I don't know, like you read, if the famine is going to, and I need to be prepared for it. And that's all I want to share.
Well, I think you've said enough for me and you, Adia, and there's no reason I need to even come behind that. So thank you, everyone who has been listening with us and has sat at the table with us tonight. Come back and join us again next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go on our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Like the page, and we encourage you to join in with the conversation. Message us as well as post comments on the page so we can hear what you like to say, hear what things are inside of you that you may not feel that you have an outlet. And if you want to remain anonymous, then we can do that as well. You can email us at prftable@gmail.com. We would love to just continue to have dialogue, and we want to help. So until next week, God bless you. We love you, and have a good week.